Welcome to the Plant Grow Reap podcast.
Welcome to Plant Grow Reap. I'm Andrea McKenna, CEO of Aintree Group, and today I've got in the studio Nadia, who is our director in Aintree Group Chartered Accountants, and we're going to be talking about female financial empowerment. Hi, Nadia.
Hello, Andrea.
So this is a conversation that we are continuing from a seminar that you and I hosted together with another organisation, Live Life Whole. And we were talking at that seminar about financial empowerment and how things are pretty different for women than they are for men when it comes to financial education, understanding where you are at in life, thinking about your financial goals and things like that. And that session had a really heavy focus on health and why women don't necessarily feel empowered in their health. But you and I got up and we talked to the room about how there are so many things that we don't learn about financial empowerment when we're young people. And this is a little bit of a stereotype, but it's worse for women than it is for men. Like, men tend to have conversations at the pub with their mates and things like that, but if we're girlfriends, we're not going to go out for dinner and start talking about, you know, what our mortgage rates are and stuff like
probably
that.
Probably better things to talk about.
we're probably drinking a cocktail and talking about something a bit more fun, but we don't share that sort of info. Whereas, and you're in a similar situation to me, except that you're a qualified accountant and I am not, but our husbands are also both accountants.
Yep.
And so if you weren't an accountant yourself, you would probably find yourself sitting there going, I'm not really that interested.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty typical, isn't it? That
yes,
most
it is. Yeah.
Girls growing up, like when I went to a girls' school and we didn't even have a conversation at school about credit cards, about bank accounts and all of that sort of stuff. Not that they have those lessons for boys, but they kind of get more of an understanding of it, or they want to go and do finance-related degrees. Like, it's a very heavily male-dominated, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, and I was just thinking about my girlfriends when I was younger. We were just so happy when we got a credit card and then we could just, like, tap the card. Well, I don't think we were tapping it back then.
No.
Inserting it.
Well, when I got my first credit card, they used to put it through a machine and they would swipe
it
like that.
Okay.
That's how old I am. So at least you're talking about tapping and swiping.
We're just showing our age at the moment.
I know. We should have got some of the younger women on. So what we're going to talk about today is things like empowering women to understand at least their money and their financial situation, understanding how career breaks can have an impact on things that are not just your CV. Like, I think that some women don't think about how that will impact on them much further down the track, having a career break, for instance, to have a baby or to travel overseas or anything like that. We'll talk a little bit about the gender pay gap because it's still a really hot topic, and particularly in our industry, which is financial services and professional services, because it is a big deal, and about how women's longer life expectancy means that we need to be thinking much more in advance about where we should be than we actually do. Like, we tend to take a back seat in those conversations a lot, and you have the benefit of seeing clients come in, and I know, I suppose because you are a woman, a lot of the clients that you work with are women. It's just a natural sort of thing that when we have a woman come to us to say they would like to engage in our services, we will often say Nadia is the best person for that. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, for us it's also that because you have a specific understanding about what that's like and about how to talk to women, more so than, you know, if a man was sitting across the table going, oh, well, these are all the things that you should do, the conversations are a little bit easier. Like you said, you know, you're like, not that you treat your clients like they're your girlfriends, but you can have a more open conversation with them than maybe they feel they could if it was a man on the other side of the table. And I think that what we wanted to do when we put together the seminar was talk to women about how at different stages of their life, they need to understand things differently. So when you're a young person, you're thinking about getting your first credit card or your first mortgage, or you're thinking about Afterpay or how I get go on a holiday. Whereas, you know, a few years down the track, you might be thinking about how you can save for an investment property, or do you want to buy shares or something like that. And the conversations change as you move throughout your life. And women are not as open in those conversations as what they probably should be. And we're trying to get them to have those conversations more openly and be involved in things that they may have seen their mums let their dads manage. Yeah. And then they've gone into their lives and they still defer back to their dads a lot with questions, because dad is the one who knows those things, whereas mum didn't. I mean, my generation, we watched our mums grow up not really being involved heavily financially. It's getting better, but there's still a long way to go, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, the same with my mum as well. Like, my dad did most of the work, and, my mum didn't know anything. Like, she just got a wage, or you just transfer some money to her bank account, that was all she had.
And mums are probably really awesome at the household budget, and they don't realise how their knowledge of those things has a really big impact on their children, but they also don't give themselves a lot of credit for that, do they? Like, you know, mums are really good at balancing the household budget, making sure that there's groceries and all of that, but they're not giving themselves credit because they say to themselves, I'm just the stay-at-home mum. And they still do that, even to this day.
I actually had that with my auntie. She was counting slices of bread and making sure there was enough bread for everyone during the week. Like, it was just, she just had a separate, and she did so well with that, to make sure that there was enough food on the table for everyone.
And it's definitely conversations that women typically don't have with their financial advisor, or, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't actually go into the bank at all. I don't have conversations with even now, and I'm lucky because obviously Shane knows all of those things. That's what he does. So I haven't needed to be involved. But I was thinking, you know, as we were putting together the seminar notes and then preparing for this podcast, like, I step back in those conversations as well, because I don't need to know. And then, you know, the whole conversation around mental load for women, and, you know, there are some things that you just don't want to have to get involved in because you've got so much in your head already, like, have I got enough food on the table and all of those sorts of things. So I think these are conversations that for this podcast and for podcasts coming and for podcasts we've already done, because we've already had conversations about this before, I think opening up the conversation and making people feel comfortable with asking questions, or and for young people, having them be confident that they can ask questions and that nobody's going to look at them and say, what do you mean you don't know the answer to that?
Right, yeah.
Because I think that's a big thing
isn't it? Yeah, that's a big thing.
Particularly for women, because we don't like to be wrong.
That's right.
That is another stereotype I'm bringing to this conversation.
But thank God for AI, at least. We can get some of the facts right before we ask further questions.
Exactly. So we'll go through a few of the things now so that we, our listeners can understand what it is that we will talk about in this session plus in sessions to come, because, as I said, I think it's really important that we keep these conversations going. So the biggest things that I think we need to make sure that people understand is that the more you know, the less stress you have about things.
Yep.
So you can still be stressed about the actual outcome, but if you know the way to get there, or if you know what you've got to do to fix it, it's much easier for you to sit back and say, okay, this, I'm in control of this. It might still be stressful, but at least you have some control. So in terms of your what you think people should know, and, you know, thinking about not just younger people, because we know that they've got less things that they have to worry about. Like, if you haven't got a mortgage or a credit card or whatever, you don't have to know those things straight up.
Yep.
What are the main things that you think that people and women in particular should know, regardless of what stage of life they are at?
You should know how much money you have in the bank, mm-hmm. first of all, all your assets, how much money you have in superannuation if you're working. Make sure you know your tax file number, you have mm-hmm. that in a secure location as well. Also having conversations with your parents and understanding where financial and legal documents are.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. I had a conversation with my grandmother last night about this. So, yeah, just being open in that respect. Life insurance, health insurance, understanding that I think it's important to have health insurance, especially if something was to happen, you know, you're covered in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
Life insurance is more so... when you are to pass, your loved ones will be taken care of.
Yep.
So
mm-hmm.
I guess it depends on the stage of life that you're at.
Yep.
Also considering your wills, especially when you start accumulating assets, I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
And even with superannuation, if you do have money accumulating in there, understanding what superannuation fund you're with.
Yep.
What they're investing in mm-hmm. and what your strategy is. There's many different strategies with superannuation and you have control over that.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that, you know, if you were to pass, where does that money go to? So
yep.
making sure that you have your nominations in place, which is basically, yeah, if I was to pass, I've got this much money in superannuation, mm-hmm. it needs to go to X.
Yep.
And you need to be careful on who that is because it can't go to everyone. Like it can't go to your parents, it can't go to your siblings.
Yep.
It needs to go to your children or your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just speaking to someone about that, even with me, I'm an accountant. I see myself as a business advisor that kind of guides clients in all these different aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I don't know the answer, I generally know the answer or know who to go to get the answer.
Yep.
So you can ask me basically any question and I will be able to, one, I either know the answer or two, direct you in the right place. So I try to guide clients from a holistic point of view, not just
mm-hmm.
from an accounting tax return type thing.
Yep.
I had a conversation with a client last week and she goes, I just don't know who to go to for certain things. Like I don't really know what an accountant does or a bookkeeper and all of this. And then, I just had the conversation, just come to me and I can generally give you advice on that.
Yeah.
And also understanding your budget. So if you are working or you're getting a salary and money's going into the bank account, how you spend that money.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was young, basically every dollar that came into my bank account would go towards clothing or going out or seeing friends and that kind of thing. But as you grow older, working out a strategy with your savings,
mm-hmm.
There's a methodology which is the 50-30-20 rule,
mm-hmm.
which is 50% goes to living costs, groceries, mortgages, if you've got a mortgage and that kind of thing. 30% goes to discretionary spending,
mm-hmm.
like hobbies, dining out, things like that.
Yeah.
I think it's important to still live your life, not just sitting there counting every dollar and just, especially if you have the means to. And then 20% going into savings as well. And that can be for holidays, that can be for buying a house, whatever that is. And even having separate bank accounts to take care of this as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that's also important. Be proactive, listen to podcasts, come to our...
come to our seminar. It's the easiest way.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
we feed you and give,
that's
you,
right, exactly.
give you champagne.
That's
so it's
right.
a really good option.
I also read The Barefoot Investor as well, which I thought was really great. I think that's a good starting point to understanding your finances.
Yeah.
And just being aware.
Yeah.
Just being aware. Talk to people. Ask questions. Use AI if you don't feel comfortable asking questions.
Yeah.
It's all there and it's all available. It's all on the internet. You just need to spend time and get to know, or else, ask your accountant. And she'll guide you in the right way.
I think it's really important, even taking a step back into the first thing that you said here, which was knowing your wealth, your assets and liabilities, and understanding all of that in your mind. Because as a young person, Emily, our daughter, who will be 21 this year, she's just moved into a share house. So it's her first time that she's had to start thinking about individual bills and all of that sort of stuff, because when she's been away from home for a while, but she's always been in sort of student accommodation, which means that everything's covered for you, so you're not thinking about it. So she's had to organise a gas bill, organise an electricity bill, her internet bill, all of that sort of stuff. And then she said to me the other day, what about house insurance? And I said, well, you don't need house insurance because you're renting, so you don't need to actually insure the house that you're in. That's your landlord's mm-hmm. responsibility. But I said, you do need to insure your stuff that's inside the house. And she said, oh, my stuff isn't really worth anything, so it's not that big a deal. And then I went through with her all of the things that she has that are worth something. And you don't often think about the things that you use on a daily basis as being worth much. Like you think, oh, I've got my computer and my iPad and my phone and whatever. And then I said to her, but what about your camera? What about the fact that you've got more than one computer, your bassoon? She plays bassoon. A bassoon is expensive. Like, you know, all of these things add up. And she did actually itemize the things that she had in the house. And it came to a significant amount of money. And she said, if I had to, if heaven forbid, the house burnt down and she had to replace all of those things, it would cost her a lot. And I think that young people don't think about those things either. It's very easy to say, oh, I don't really have much. Like, I'm just a young person. I haven't accumulated much. But you actually could have accumulated a bit. Even if it is just your laptop, if you've got a gaming computer, that's probably worth a few $1,000s. And, you know, all the things that you may just accumulate easily, you know, even if you're the sort of person who buys expensive bags and stuff like that, you sit down with a spreadsheet, because, you know, accountants and spreadsheets, you realise that you've accumulated quite a lot. And it might be the stuff that you use every day, but it's still part of your assets and liabilities. Like, you are still creating assets there. And so for young people, getting them to think about that as these are your assets. You might not have a lot right now, but these are things that you are building towards, you know, a bigger purpose. And that's something that I don't think anybody thinks about. Mm. Like, I don't even think about it. If I was to sit down
I'm itemising right now, actually.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. And you don't realise until you start to put it on paper that you do have quite a lot of assets there, and they might not be assets that you could or even want to sell. But if you are thinking about how, like, if you've gone and saved up, you know, $3,000 to buy a new camera, that's a pretty significant amount of money to save to get you to a goal. If you're a musician, you spend lots of money on instruments. There's probably lots of people listening at the moment who spend money, their savings, on things that they love to do, like their hobbies and stuff, and you don't think about how those assets are worth anything because you just use them, so you don't think about it. You might have a piece of your grandparents' jewellery or something like that, that is worth something, and you've got to think about insuring those things if you're living in share housing or if you're living in, you know, your own place, your own apartment or whatever. And we don't think about those things. And then liabilities. Like, we've had conversations on the podcast before about things like afterpay and how young people don't realise that afterpay is something that will impact you a long time down the track. Like, if you've got that on your credit score, those things can have a huge impact on your ability to get a car loan if you want to buy a car, or a credit card if you're looking to apply for a credit card and things like that. So these are things that people should think about, even if it seems like a really insignificant thing. Like, even if you've got an afterpay for $100, we've seen situations where that has impacted on people's ability to get a much bigger loan, because the bank will turn around and say, what on earth did you get an afterpay for that insignificant amount of money? Like, how could you not afford to buy whatever that was that you were afterpaying? But it sounds like a really good idea at the time. Like, I don't have to pay for that right now. I can pay for it in three monthly installments. Well, that's the thing. Like, you get it right away. Yeah. And
for the young ones out
there. Yeah, I was going to say, please explain. explain lay-by because I don't think anybody knows what a lay-by is these days.
Basically, you go to the shop and you say, I want to buy this piece of item, but I don't have money right now. They're like, okay, I will hold it until you do have money, and then when you do have money, then please pass it. Where with Afterpay, you can buy it now, pay later.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. So it's like lay-by, but you're getting the product at the time.
Yeah.
We know, you know, when I was younger, I would like put a turntable on lay-by, like, you know, go and put it in the back at Target and then go there every week and put $15
cash. You progress
you
payments,
walk
yes.
in with your $10 yes. of actual money and hand it over.
Yes.
So there's lots of things to think about that people don't necessarily think about until, you know, maybe until you move out of home and you have to start thinking, how am I going to pay for petrol? What's my grocery expenses for this month or this week or however you want to work it? So you don't have to be earning a lot of money with a big fancy job or whatever. It can be as simple as, I've just moved out of home and I'm in my first year of uni. What do I need to think about? And these are the things that you need to think about, aren't they? Like getting your regular weekly budget is a pretty easy but significant way of working out how you're going to manage into the future, and then giving yourself good habits.
Yep.
Like the 50, 30, 20 is a really good habit to get yourself into from the minute you get your first part-time job. Like think about that small amount of pay that you might get, which you're probably desperate to use to buy whatever it is that you were so excited to be able to buy. But, you know, thinking about how you can plan for the future with those things. They're really easy steps.
Yeah, I think so. And it takes time. Like it's all trial and error. Like one week you can spend it all and then next week you try again.
Yeah.
And you don't know how much things actually cost till you actually start spending. So you may, you know, from day one you might not know how much groceries cost you for the week until you actually go out there to the shops and but then even looking at other alternatives like going to Aldi or cheaper
supermarkets
and trying to find a way.
Yeah.
And there's lots of budget calculator spreadsheets out there that you can use.
You actually, we talked about at the seminar, the apps. So there's some apps that you can download which are really good, aren't they?
And Frollo is very good. Yeah. I've tried many, many different apps.
Yeah.
But Frollo has been my favourite by far.
Yeah.
And it gives you an idea as well of, even if you don't want to control your spending but you just want to be aware of what you actually spent last month. Like I got my credit card bill and I'm like, what did we actually spend money on?
Yeah.
So I put it into Frollo and it told me exactly what went through there. And one of it is we're planning for a holiday in April. So I was like, oh, that's right. We bought our flights. We bought this. This is why it's a little bit higher than usual.
Yeah.
So it's just about being aware of where your money's going, because I feel like we just go and we spend and no one – really, it's just the money's gone.
Yeah.
What did you spend the money on?
And it's super easy these days, isn't it?
Because
you just tap your phone and walk up and tap your phone, and then it's not even like you have to think, where is that money coming from?
Yeah. Yeah. And it also helps with decision making as well. And something I mentioned at the seminar too is our restaurant bill was quite high last month. So this month we've decided no restaurants.
Yeah. How's that going for you?
It's been good.
Good.
No restaurants. we ate in on Valentine's Day, so that was great. But now that we're going to Brisbane, we had a Brisbane exception to the rule.
There's an exception for the week.
So that's great. So it helps with decision making in that respect as well. And same with clothing. Like if you're spending a certain amount on clothing for a month, you're like, okay, I've spent my budget. Mm. Next month is when I can buy the next piece of item as well. So that really helps with tweaking and helps with saving, because you are aware. When you're not aware, I just feel like you just keep spending.
And I think that's what the conversation is that we're not talking about enforcing people into some sort of budgetary arrangement that is unpleasant for them. We're not saying, you know, you have to save this and you have to spend this and you've got to, you know, look at all these things. It's about being aware of what you're spending and then being able to say, it's okay. I'm happy to spend that money on these things.
Yeah.
But then understanding down the track that if you can't afford that holiday when your girlfriends say to you, we're going to Hamilton Island for a week, if you can't afford to go, then it's because of the choices that you've made along the way sometimes. So,
that's right.
And it's those things are all okay too.
That's
like
right.
We're not for 1 minute saying that being empowered is about, you know, being really rigid with your decision making. It's just all understanding that it is about decisions and how you want to go about things. Yep. Just want to come quickly back to reminding people as well, because it's really important to know your tax file number. The amount of times that we get a phone call from clients saying, can you please remind me of what my tax file number is and things like that. And that's totally fine if you've got an accountant that you use like our clients do, who are all engaged with us year on year. But if you're a young person and you're just going into H&R Block or something like that to get your tax done, it's super important for you to understand and know what your tax file number is and to keep it in a secure location. That doesn't mean put it in your phone under your contacts as you, because that is not a secure location.
You met someone who's
Well, I know a lot of people who sort of think, oh, yeah, nobody's going to know that that's my tax file number, and they will.
Yep.
It's also about understanding what your parents' information, where your parents hold their information. And I, you know, you said about your grandma knowing where she has her information. It's really important for people to have those conversations with their parents or their guardians or whoever it might be that they have a relationship with, because as you get older in life, and sometimes even when you're a younger person, you don't realize these things are going to be an issue for you. But if the worst does happen and you need to access information that it belongs to your family, if you don't know even the first place to go to try and find it, it can make life really difficult, can't it?
Yeah, it can.
Yep. Yeah. And so I think, you know, part of what we need to have conversations with young people about is making sure that they are aware of what their family's wishes are with things, about understanding if they have complex structures. Lots of our clients' family situations are quite complex. They're not simple, like people working in paid salary jobs. They're complex, and it's really important to understand that. And as a young person, it's easier to say, oh, mum and dad have got that sorted or whatever. But if you don't know where your parents hold their information, then it can become really hard, and it will already be hard. Whatever your family might be going through at the time will already be hard, and you don't want to make it any harder by not knowing where that info is. So conversations around that and understanding where your family's things are, where, you know, aunties and uncles, if you're the one who's going to be responsible for helping them, or even if your parents are going to be responsible for helping them, your parents are going to need support, and you need to know where that sort of info is and how to find it. So I think it's really important. And also to talk about, as a young person particularly, our director in Aintree Group Legal talks about this a lot, because she has a specialisation in succession planning and estate planning. Young people should have a will.
Yes.
Like, even if it's a very simple will, you should have a will. And Sophie Cohen, who is our director that I'm talking about, she gifts her kids their wills as they turn 18. And she had a conversation with me a little while back about why she does that. And we'll talk to Sophie in a, you know, upcoming episode. She's talked about this before, though, about why it's really important for young people to have a will and for them to understand the importance of having a will and the conversations that it opens up as a family. Because I didn't have a will when I was that age, and I wouldn't have even remotely considered why I would need to have one. But we had the conversation with Emily before she went overseas, and Sophie was really clear to Emily, and she said, if something happens to you when you're overseas, you want your mum and dad to be able to do whatever they need to do, to be able to help you, to be able to do whatever is necessary. And if we put in a will and we have powers of attorney all set up for you before you go away, then you go away with peace of mind knowing that they can help you or they can do whatever they need to do while you're away. So many young people go overseas, and I'm sure they don't have wills. So what do you do if you need your passport replaced and you're in the middle of nowhere stuck with nothing? and mum and dad don't have a power of attorney to be able to contact the passport office on your behalf or the bank on your behalf if your wallet gets stolen and things like that. So those things are things that people typically don't think about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And I don't think I even thought about it until we actually had our legal department actually just explain that to us.
Yeah. I mean, why would you think about it? Like, you know, you're 20 and you're going overseas and, you know, you might be away for 6 months or whatever. You're not thinking, oh, gee, I better get my will sorted out before I go, or I might need a power of attorney set up. But the process is so simple, and it's not, you don't have to go through huge, you know, it's not a time frame sensitive thing. You can easily come in. Any lawyer does wills and things like that. It's not like you have to, you know, take a huge process involved. But it's something people should be thinking about.
Yeah.
Like just to have peace of mind. Again, it's all about saying to yourself, I know that I have this in hand. It's not going to stop the things happening that may happen, but at least if those things do happen, I'm covered.
Yeah, you know? That's right. And as life changes and as you form relationships or have breakups and things like that, to really keep that in mind, whether it needs to be updated, buying property, if you have joint bank accounts, things like that, keeping that in mind. If anything was to happen, it gives your family peace of mind that everything will be taken care of and be taken care of according to your wishes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Even same when you have children as well, documenting who will take care of the children if anything was to happen to you, that's very important too.
Yeah, yeah, and I think... you know, interesting to talk about that now as well, about how relationships and having children impacts on what you need to know about things too, because that is a really important one, that if you've got, you know, your children, you don't want necessarily your children to be in the care of someone. Like, you've got to say who you want them to be in the care of in your will. And a lot of people don't think about that. It's really uncomfortable conversations to have, isn't it? Like, nobody who's having
a baby.
It's
uncomfortable to think about as well, I think.
Exactly.
You
don't want to think about that, do you, when you are sitting down? And I know the first time that Shane and I had a conversation about it after we'd had our kids, it was like, oh, this isn't relevant to us right now. It's like, you know, and then, you know, the lawyer that we sat down with at the time said, well, no, you don't your will is like an insurance policy. It's not, you're not taking it out because it's going to happen right now. You're taking it out because if the worst happens, you need to think about it. So,
thinking about my dogs.
But that's the thing too. Dogs, like, what happens to your dogs and who is going to be the one who's looking after them? It's a tough conversation to have at any time of life. And again, it's all about empowering people to have these conversations. So when you first get married or when you first partner with somebody and life partnership is the sort of thing that you're thinking about, these conversations you should be able to be comfortable having, because those issues aren't going away.
Yep.
Even if you're not having the conversations, at some point there's going to be a conversation.
Especially if you're living with them as well, even if you're not married yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Knowing when you actually are in a de facto relationship and that.
Yep. Yeah. So many people don't realise that they are in a de facto relationship, even because the legality around it is, it's not like, oh, you have to be living in the same house as each other and you have to be doing this and you have to be doing that and you have to be doing the other thing. There's like a really fixed, these things you have to have conversations about. And it's not black and white, and you don't have to be prescriptive about these things, but you have to start conversations.
That's right. Yeah.
Like parents, conversations with your parents, conversations with your partner, making sure that everybody is on the same page, even if you can't come to an agreement about the decisions, people need to understand where you're at, don't they?
That's right. Yeah. Being aware of anything your partner's doing, especially if it's in both names, if it's in joint accounts, like for example, we have some investments and Cam's managing that, but like, how do you log in? How do you, you know, having an understanding of login details, even internet banking, making sure if you've got a joint bank account that you can log in and actually see the bank balance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if anything was to happen to your partner, you would need to be able to access those accounts.
Even, you know, silly things that people might not think about often, like if your electricity is in the name of your partner, like, you know, you then can't call the electricity company and change any of the details and stuff.
Got me thinking. So, I'm trying to work out that.
It's all these sort of silly little things that you really don't think of on a day-to-day basis, but if you've got an understanding, you know, if you are moving in with your partner for the first time and stuff and working all of that out, it's really helpful to, you know, maybe set up a spreadsheet or something like that so that you know where those things are held and like who's got the account for this and who's got the account for that, particularly if you are not doing, you know, some sort of joint account but you're doing it separately. So, you know, those things are really important for people to understand. And you know, the whole getting married or choosing a life partner and then bringing everything together, the conversations around how that will all work. Like you said, you know, you and Cam sat down at the outset and worked out all of those things so that your relationship wasn't, you know, didn't have any sort of negative connotations with around money and who's got this and whose debt is this and everything. It's kind of, you know, conversations around that. It would have been, again, totally fine if Cam had have said, no, I'm going to manage all of that myself, Nadia, but here's an undertaking that it's that I'm going to do it and it's not going to become your problem down the track. How you manage it is not as important as having conversations around how you're going to manage it.
Yeah, that's right.
So not leaving it hidden behind the scenes and like, oh, I've got this, I'm getting into a relationship with somebody but I've got this debt and I'm not going to talk to them about it. Like, that's not a good start.
Yeah.
You don't want to go into a relationship with secrets about those sorts of things. So we would always encourage people to have those conversations because it's nothing to be ashamed about. People have debt for all sorts of reasons. It may be that you've gone overseas and spent more money than you should have and you've decided to take out a credit card so that you can cover that and, you know, pay it off down the track, and that's okay. It might be that your car, you know, broke down and you had to buy a new car unexpectedly and you're now in debt for that. But it's just really important to go into relationships with an understanding of where both of you are at and what your financial goals are as well. Like, you don't want to find out 2 years into a relationship that your partner never wants to buy a house if all you've ever done is wanted to buy a house. Like, you know, get those conversations out of the way early on so that you're not taking them into a relationship and, you know, possibly finding out down the track that things aren't going to work out. Things won't always work out.
No.
We see it very often because it's a fact of life. Lots of people get into relationships and then for whatever reason choose to get out of them. It's really important to make sure that you are covered if those sorts of things happen. We know that women are often impacted in bigger ways in relationship breakdowns and things like that, in terms of they don't have an understanding of where their financial situation is. So when they're looking to leave a relationship, they don't know how to do it or they can't do it because they've never had any independence financially. And as unfortunate as those conversations are, it's fact. Like, I don't want to think that those things happen, but factually we know that people are in situations where they are trying to get out of relationships and it's difficult because financially they're not, they don't know. There are certain things that they need, that they should be thinking about in advance, and we also know that financial abuse is a real thing on both sides of the equation. It's not men versus women or anything like that, but people not being free because of their financial situation is a big deal. knowing the things that you need to know is really important, isn't it?
Yes.
Like
yeah.
the basics.
Yeah. Even having, having a separate bank account mm. as much as possible with your own a few months' worth of savings in yep. there. Obviously, it depends on your situation mm. and your means and how much you can accumulate in that respect. And also if you can have your own income stream in some yep. way. I know I've got a friend who's got an Instagram business that she's working on. Yep. I have another friend who's writing a book. Mm. I have another friend, she's working as well. So trying to, have your own income stream so you're not heavily reliant on mm. your partner as yep. much as you possibly can.
Yep.
Maintaining your skills. So mm. prior to marriage, you probably built up skills or you went to university. So mm. keep learning, keep reading up on it.
Yep.
It'll make it easier as well when you are looking for work later on down the track. Mm. Understanding your assets and liabilities, as we yep. talked about earlier, and seeking legal advice as well.
Yep.
Even initially, if you feel as if something's not right,
mm.
have those initial discussions first.
It yep. just
can be a discussion and it'll at least give you a plan of things that you need to do.
Yep.
There's Centrelink benefits as well, so mm. understanding those, yep. I think that's really important, and child support rights and yep. obligations too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So lots to think about, but just ask questions,
yeah.
speak to your friends, people that you trust, and yep. just have those conversations. You hope that that doesn't happen. It could just be that you're aware of all your documentation, where everything's at, and if that was to happen, then you can move on.
Yeah.
But you hope that in most circumstances
you can
work through it and,
I think it's really important for people to understand as well that there are organisations out there who help
yes.
with these sorts of financial situations and making sure that people have the best advice that they can. So even if you've got a family accountant and you don't feel like you're comfortable going to them with conversations around separation or, what to do with assets and things like that, if you feel like you're going to need to get out of a relationship, you can take those conversations to places where there's independent advice and also anonymous advice. Like you don't have to divulge all of this personal information. There are online options for financial wellness and financial information for people who are looking to get out of relationships if they feel uncomfortable or if they feel unsafe. So as part of the podcast information that we put on our social media and everything, we'll put a few links to those sorts of organisations so that people have an understanding that they can take
great.
Those questions
yep.
Elsewhere. Because it is sometimes those conversations are really tough and people feel unsafe having them, and I think it's really important that we give as much information as we can to make sure that people feel safe. If you do have a family accountant and you want to have a conversation with them, they are obliged under their own professional obligations to make sure that they are giving you independent advice or telling you when they can't give you independent advice. So if we had clients who came to us in that way, Nadia, we would say to them, we can't act for you in this matter. Here's a referral to somebody else, or we would try and work it out so that we're giving the information on a confidential basis, because it is hard and those conversations are not easy. Like, nobody wants to have them.
Yeah. We've had in the past said to clients that there's a conflict of interest here.
Yeah.
You need to separate.
Yep. Yeah. So
in terms of accountants, not
separate. Yeah. Exactly. Both. All of the above sometimes. There are some tips for long-term financial independence. We can't cover enough detail about them in a podcast episode
because there is a lot.
Yep. And there are some things that you can do reasonably easily, and then there are some other things that are, really do take for you to sit down with independent advisors, whether they be lawyers or wealth planners or accountants. But there's a few things that are really important that people consider from the very beginning of their lives right up until the very end of their lives. Estate planning is one thing. That is your wills and powers of attorney and all of that. As you start to build assets, there's a lot of things that you might think about that you wouldn't normally think about if you were simply a wage and salary earner with one home. Once you start thinking about lots of investments and things like that, you want to start thinking about how you manage those processes in much more detail, right?
Yeah, that's right. And also just keep in mind, if you do set up a family trust or you've got an investment trust, that's not actually covered under the will. So making sure that that's taken care of as well. And also your superannuation is not covered. So making sure that you're getting the holistic advice, not just a will. I feel like people just talk about getting a will and that's it.
Absolutely.
There's a lot more things to consider. Yeah. And there's also testamentary trust, which I'm not going to talk about today, but it's a great strategy.
We'll do Plant, Grow, Reap episode testamentary trusts.
Sophie Cohen can help you with that. And it just talks about how you can distribute your assets in a tax-effective way to your children. Yeah. So definitely something to consider. And also diversifying your investments as much as possible. You can have your cash in the bank. You can have your property. You can have shares.
Yep.
You can have cryptocurrency. You can have ETFs as well.
Yeah.
So making sure that you've got a range of different investments. And
there's some cool young people related strategies around investments these days as well, like platforms like Raise, where you put money into those and have some, you know, it's a bit more fun than, you know, it's not the same old, you know, get a stockbroker and have to buy a certain amount of shares. You can kind of have a play around with it, can't you? I know a lot of people who have got them, but Emily and Jacob have got their Raise accounts. And they put a small amount of money in it sort of every pay to have a bit of fun. And Emily's got hers in very specific environmental strategy investments. And Jacob and Shane have got theirs in cryptocurrency and a bunch of other different sort of a bit more just sort of quick results, whereas Emily is much more like considered investor. But those platforms give you the ability to put in a little amount of money. Like, you don't have to be investing tens of thousands of dollars. You can put in tiny amounts and still see the benefits. So I think that's a fun way for young people to sort of get into diversifying their investments.
Yeah, and also understanding the market. If you're involved, you can see what's going on in the market.
Yeah.
So it gets you involved in that respect as well.
Yeah.
And also, making sure you keep up to date with the current affairs as well and what's going on in the world, because I think that's really important.
Yeah. Everyone wants to know what the next, you know, cryptocurrency thing is going to be. And it's completely over my head. Thank goodness I've got good advisors. But it's easy to get sucked in by things though, isn't it, with investment?
Like, it is. It depends on your personality, I think, on how you approach investments.
Yeah.
Which it sounds like Jacob and Emily have got
very different. Yeah. One just doesn't mind throwing his money away and the other one's like very considered.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jacob. You've bought Nadia too many drinks, Jacob, so I understand where your money's
going.
Jacob,
it's all your fault. You didn't listen to your mum. But something interesting I was speaking to my grandmother about, she was talking about how she's staying at Oxacare in Epping, and that's more of a private residence.
Yep.
But Albanese offered a package deal for people in the public for 20% of the rooms to be used by people in the public.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother caught on to this straight away.
Yep.
So as this was getting released in the news, she was building a case as well because she wasn't well, making sure she was notifying Centrelink and keeping all that up to date.
Yep.
And then when it happened that the benefits were available, she so now she's in Oxacare, which is great, paying minimal amount of money. So keeping up to date with the current affairs also helps you to know what's going out there in the world, what the government's presenting, what's benefits you can get with Centrelink and all that kind of thing.
Yep.
I think that's really important. And knowing, like, for example, the first home
first home buyers grants.
That's right, knowing that the government can help you buy your first home and all you need is a 5% deposit. So being aware of all those things, I think, is really critical for your long-term financial independence.
Yeah, absolutely. Budgets and cash flow, we've already talked about.
Yes.
Making sure that your income supports your lifestyle, making sure that you make decisions like not going to restaurants for the month if you want to try and save some money for something that's more important.
Yep.
There's always a trade-off with those things,
that's
isn't
right.
there?
Yeah.
So, like, you've got to, at some point, you've got to say to yourself, what is the most important financial goal?
Yep.
And for you, it might be overseas travel, and that's that's good too. But for your friend, or, you know, you would hope for your partner, you would have the same sorts of long-term financial goals if becoming a life partner with someone is one of your goals.
Yeah.
Aligning those goals is really
right.
important.
Yeah. And having goals.
Yeah.
Having goals.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I find if you don't have a goal, you tend to spend more.
Yep.
Because you don't know what to look forward to.
Yeah, yeah.
It's harder to make sacrifices if you don't have a goal, I think.
Yep.
So having that or something to look forward to
is
really critical.
Yeah.
Or else why would you sacrifice going to restaurants?
Yeah. if you're not saving for anything.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And the conversations around alignment of goals. Like it doesn't matter what your goals are actually in the long run. You can have a goal that is that you want to go to every fancy restaurant in Melbourne, you know, over a 12-month period, and that's okay as long as your financial goal for that, you understand that it is going to have an impact on other things.
Yep.
Or if you're not aligned with the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with, maybe you need to have a rethink about where you're at. So for me, it's just all about those honesty in the conversations that you're having with the people around you to make sure that you're doing what is the right thing. And sometimes those conversations are really hard.
Yeah.
And they don't get any easier. So as you buy your house and have your children, and then when you're starting to have conversations with your parents about what they want to, you know, whether they want to go into aged care or whether they want to stay at home for as long as they can, those conversations are hard and they don't ever get any easier. So, like, if you start having them as a young person, it's not going to get any harder to have those conversations. Like, you've already started. So keep the conversations open. Like, don't be afraid to say to your grandparents, what is it that you want to have happen when you get older and when you are relying on me to make decisions for you? Like, if you've had those conversations, it's so much easier for you to make those decisions down the track. They're never going to be easy decisions.
Yep.
But if you know that that's what your grandma wants from the later in her life, then you know that you're going to be able to fulfill her goals and fulfill where she thought she would be when she can't make those decisions for herself. And I think those, you don't want to talk about that when you're like a young person. But we know actually that, and again, there's statistics to back this up. I don't have them here with me, but young women are the ones who are making those calls for their parents and for their grandparents, because they're the ones who are essentially looking after their mums and dads and taking them to hospital appointments and looking at aged care with them and things like that. And for our team, luckily, we've got a huge network of people that can help with all of those sorts of conversations, including conversations around aged care and how to have those conversations with your parents, because you don't want to just walk up to your 50-year-old mum and say, oh, by the way, what age do you want me to put you in a facility? Like, because as you get older, as I'm getting older, I really don't want Emily saying to me, when am I going to put you in a home, mum?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a little less precious about those conversations than what some people might be. But it's really confronting.
Yeah.
It's confronting to be a young person having those conversations, and it's confronting to be an adult.
Yes.
With where your children are parenting you. Like, that is even worse. So it's better, I think, to have those conversations when your parents are younger and lucid and you're talking to them about what you want to have happen and everything. So empowerment is really about having open conversations and making sure everyone's got as much info as they can about all of these things. And I think for us, we'll keep these conversations going in podcast format. As I said, we did the seminar. We will do more of those. We do lots of client seminars, but the podcast is actually a really good way for people to get lots of information in a short period of time. Final things that you want to mention to people, Nadia, like what if you were if you were giving advice to a client today about what they should be considering as a brand new client, like they don't know anything about you or Aintree Group, what are the things that you would say to them as they, you know, as you're wrapping up the meeting?
There's a lot. It's what I like to approach it is understand their situation and really try to, you know, see if they've got their will sorted, see if they've got their insurances in place, understanding their assets, understanding their debt. Mm-hmm. And from that, I think about whether it's relevant for them to, for example, review the interest rate on their home loan at home. Yep. So I would ask them, what is your interest rate? If they tell me 8 to 9%, then I'm saying that there's a problem.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So really trying to drill and try to understand. Yeah. At the end of the day, I think it's not advice I would normally give as an accountant, but what I think people should be aware of is to really trust their instincts with things. If they feel like something's wrong or if there's something playing on their mind, that's the other thing I try to understand is what is on your mind? What is it that you're worried about? What is it that you're, what your concerns are and what are you happy about in life? What are you enjoying? And really trying to understand that, because I think that's where we can help. I mean, some clients are worried they're going to get sued in their business. So trying to understand that, okay, asset protection is really important to you. The other one is tax minimization. That's obviously a big one. But that's not always the number one thing that's on clients' minds. There's so much, you know, things going on in the world. And so really just speak to your accountant. Be open with them. They've got your best interests at heart. Yeah, the more you let them know, the more they better understand their situation and give you that holistic
experience.
And I think every client here has got a tailored experience with us, because they've all got different family dynamics or different structures or different everything. So it's really just spending the time and just, be open and, hoping that also that the chemistry and the dynamics between us all work out well, because you want to be able to get along with your clients and the client want to be able to get along with your accountant. I think it's the same with my hairdresser as well. She's my hairdresser because I enjoy talking to her.
Exactly, so you probably spend more time with your hairdresser than most people spend with your accountant.
She knows a lot more secrets.
Exactly.
And I think, like for me personally, building connections is really important to me and understanding, even with the team, clients, with everyone. And it makes a day more fun as well, rather than just sitting in there doing tax returns.
Exactly. Kind of thing. I think that as a result of what we're doing with all of this, the conversations we're having around women's empowerment and everything, there's we've got a web page that we have there that will have all the information on it of the things that we're talking about, as well as links to various other organisations that are specifically in the space of female empowerment and financial empowerment and health empowerment and that sort of stuff. We will continue those conversations as we go. We'll continue to put more information on that web page as well, so that people have access to these things. We'll probably even look to put some form of like information sheet that says that has a list of all the things that people might want to consider thinking about or having conversations with their loved ones and stuff, just so that we're giving as much info, I think, for you and for me and for the whole team at Aintree Group. We're just about giving people as much information as we can so that they can make good quality decisions, even if they can't afford or can't, they're not in a position to be able to access our actual services. Because for us, you and I don't really mind if people become clients or don't become clients. It's more about making sure that everybody who is out there, who's in our community and in our space, has access to the information that we can provide them. So we'll put some things on that website. It'll be available as part of the info that comes out with this podcast. Have a look, listeners, out for that information, which will all be attached to the podcast info, however that happens for you, whether you watch us on YouTube, whether you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts or watch us online, you get to see our beautiful faces on this one. So thank you for joining me today, Nadia. And this will be one of many conversations that we have this year on Plant Grow Reap regarding these sorts of really important topics. So thank you.